Well, the peace of the Lord be with you. A man absolutely hated his wife's cat. So he decided to get rid of it one day, and he put it in the car and drove 20 blocks, pushed it out, and as he was driving back in the driveway, here's the cat walking in the driveway. Not to be thwarted, he, another day, put it back in the car and drove 40 blocks. Pushed it out. As he was driving home, there's the cat walking up the driveway. He was getting a little bit annoyed, so he tried various things. He tried going over the river. He tried going to another park. He tried going to another suburb. He tried all sorts of things, pushed the cat out, and every time he got home, there's the cat walking up the driveway. So one Saturday, he went well for it, and he went flat out. He went everywhere he could find, left, right, up the hills, down the hills, everywhere he could go, pushed the cat out. About an hour later, gets on the phone to his wife. "Honey, is the cat home?" "Yes," she said. "Well, can you put him on the phone, because I'm lost and I need directions." If I was to take a poll of the 10 top questions that Christians ask, finding God's direction would be right up there, right at the very top, probably only second to why do bad things happen to good people. And many Christians, we know only so well, struggle with finding God's guidance. It is a frustrating experience when you're trying to understand how God leads. We wonder, how does it happen? How does it work? How do we find God's guidance when we need an answer sooner rather than later? And so guidance is something that Christians are really quite confused about and struggle to understand. So this morning I want to cut to the chase. I'm not going to be too long this morning, but I've got 4 points that I want to bring to you about finding God's guidance. Almost 4 Jonathan hints on how you can find God's guidance in a different way, in a way that's helpful. If you've got your Bibles, you could open them up to John chapter 10. I just want to briefly touch on that. And it is apparent, if you think about it, why I picked that as a reading this morning. We'll work on that for a little bit. I'll give you my 4 hints. We've got a couple more songs, and then I'm going to invite the kids to come back in during those couple of songs. And we're going to finish with communion this morning. So we won't have any songs after communion, but we'll finish with communion. Since chapter 7 in John's Gospel, Jesus has been teaching in the temple, and he has performed a number of miracles that have caused, and his teaching has caused, significant conflict with the Pharisees, the religious elite of the day. But in John 10, we get this outlining of where Jesus is and where he thinks he is and just who he is. He is the good shepherd. He is the one who truly knows the sheep, in contrast to those who are pretenders, who have false motives. So verses 2 and 3 says this: "The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name, and he leads them out." So here's the first point that I want to bring to you in finding God's guidance. And the first point is very simple. It is this: spend time with God. Spend time with God. I know it's very simple, but to know the shepherd, you need to be in the shepherd's company. You need to know the shepherd's voice. And the only way you can do this is to spend time with him. You have to be with him. You have to understand him. It's a bit like this. And I'm sure that all married couples will easily relate to what I'm talking about. For many couples, after a while, you don't need to speak in order to know what the other person's thinking about. You with me? You've seen that? You've done that? Yeah, I know Susie and I do that quite often. The other night we were around the table, it was very busy, lots of kids there and all things were going on, and I looked at her and I went, "I know exactly what you're thinking. And she looked at me, and I haven't asked her this, but she knew exactly what I was thinking too. We had that little look in our eyes. It's like, we know what we need to do now. How does this happen? How do you make that happen? It's easy, isn't it? You spend time with the person, and you spend enough time, you know what they're thinking. You know what they're about. You with me on this? You know where I'm going with this? You spend enough time with Jesus. You spend enough time in his presence. You spend enough time soaking up the ambience of what he's about, knowing him. Then you know his voice. And you be with the shepherd. Some of the problem with finding guidance, finding God's will, finding our direction in life is that we don't know God enough. We have not spent enough time with him. We don't sit ourselves in front of him enough to know what he's thinking on a particular topic. You know, farmer wants a wife is not the same as sitting with the good shepherd. You know, or exchange farmer wants a wife or anything else that we like to do that excludes God doesn't suffice for knowing the good shepherd. To know him, you need to be in his company, and then you get a sense of what his mind is. You get a sense of what he's about. You know what's going on for him. You know, I say this, and I say this privately, and I'll now say it publicly. You know, if you don't make worship a regular habit in your life, then how can you know the mind of God? How can you be to know what God's about? I mean, already this morning, we've seen a baptism. We've all heard that God loves us, that God died for us. We've all heard the scriptures read. We've sung some worship. We've been in the company of others who encourage us. In a little minute, we're going to remember Jesus' death for us. It's a way of putting ourselves in the company of the Good Shepherd. And when we do that, we get to know his mind. But we've got to do that. We've got to be disciplined enough to say, he is important in my life, and I need to be in his company. The second thing is this. We need to explore scripture. And this is the second key to unlocking the door that leads us to guidance. And you all know the Bible. Many of you have got multiple copies of the Bible. You all know where to find it. It's all online. It's not just fascinating old history. It's not just something that tells us about stuff in the past. What it does is it speaks to us at this moment. It's powerful for today. You know that. Here is the truth. The Bible is the most significant way God uses to speak to us on a regular occurrence. It's the most significant way that God uses to speak to us on a regular occurrence. Regular reading of the scripture puts you in the place where God can speak to you. It just has that way about it. Now I'm the first to admit, and I love reading the scriptures, and I love reading the morning and night. I'm the first to admit that there are months go by, and I don't hear from God. Sure, I get encouragement from his word. Sure, I remind myself of the great truths of scripture, of who I am in Christ, all the way in which God has worked in the world. But every now and again, maybe once a year, maybe every couple of years, I get to hear something particular from God's word. But you know what? The faithfulness of reading scripture again and again and again puts me in the place so that when God wants to speak, I'm ready to listen. I'm ready to hear God's words. But that's not the only reason we need to explore scripture. Let me tell you a general principle how God works. God will not ask you to do anything that is in contrary to what we find in the Bible. In the Bible, we get a glimpse of God's heart, and nothing that he asks us to do will be in contrast to that heart. God will not tell you to do something that is expressly prohibited in the scripture. So to know it is to further bring yourself in a line with what God is about. When you read his word, when you regularly read his scripture, when you open it up time and time again in a habit, when you saturate yourself with his word, you will more likely than not recognize his voice when it comes to you. And you know, there's so many voices calling for our attention, but if we are diligent in our scripture reading, if we open it again and again and again, when his voice comes, we will be able to separate that off from other voices. Third thing. The third thing to find God's guidance for you is this: connect with the body. And I talked a lot about the body last week, but if you're connecting with the body, there's something about this corporate discerning that we get when we connect. They help us understand. Have the body pray for you in a group is one of the most wonderful blessings you can get from being in a small group. But also, being a living, contributing part of the body is a great blessing for those whom you're in group with as well. In John 10, we have Jesus presented as the Good Shepherd. I've already said that. He calls to his sheep, they recognize his voice, and they follow him. And if you read the passage carefully, you can see that it is sheep plural. It's multiple sheep. Maybe I could say in my bad English, sheeps. Jesus calls to his sheeps. Or in Australian, Jesus calls to his mob and he calls them out. It's not singular. It's not an alone sheep. It's not, he comes to the pen and there's one sheep. He calls to the whole lot of them and he speaks to all of them. He calls them out by name. He calls all their names. Come on, come and follow me. Now, and I know that many times Jesus speaks with individuals. I know he speaks to individuals now. I know we can read in the scripture. It often has conversation with individuals, but more often than we realize, God speaks to a group and reveals his will to those who are waiting on him and praying for him to show it. Over and over again, God speaks to the whole church. And being part of the body, being connected, not just being isolated, not just turning up and then leaving, but being connected, serving together, being in a small group together, it adds something. And it allows us to get the discernment of the whole body. Jesus uses the body of his church as a discerning tool. And I suspect more often than not, Jesus, by his Spirit, speaks to groups who are gathered to wait patiently to hear his voice. This is one of the great functions of the body. And if you're not part of a small group, I encourage you to be part of that, to get this wonderful blessing of being part of the body. And it's, I say that because it's so difficult to do this in a big group. But together, we meet in our little groups, 10, 8, 6 of us, and we wait and we pray and we trust that in time when God's ready, he will speak to us. And when we're listening for each other, we get to hear his words. And we do so together. The fourth thing, and I'm nearly finished. The fourth, last way for today that I want to present to you on how God guides is this. Have a crack at what you think God wants you to do. I know it's very Australian to say that. But have a crack at what you think, where you think God is leading you. Have a go at it and see what happens. When the sheep hear the shepherd's voice, they don't know where he's going to lead. They don't see the bigger picture of what's happening. They just hear and then they obey. They trust that the leading they've got is in the right direction. Sometimes that's the way for us too. Sometimes it's, okay, God, I've got this sense where you're going, and so I trust in you and I'll follow and I don't know where it is. Here's an example. One of the few creatures on earth that can really jump is the African impala. I don't know if you know much about the African impala. It has a vertical leap of over 10 feet. 10 feet. Horizontal leap of 30 feet. It's extraordinary, isn't it? When you think about how far that is, how far this thing can leap, and you think that all the zoos of the world would have incredible troubles keeping them in, that they'd be running all around Adelaide because they've jumped out of the cage everywhere. The thing about the impala is that it will not jump, even though it's got this extraordinary leap, it will not jump where it can't see where it's supposed to land. So any little fence that blocks the view from the impala to see where it's going to land will stop it. Now, I don't know why an impala just doesn't jump up and have a look, and then, but maybe that's why it's an impala and we're humans. Do you know what? There's a lot of us that are Impala Christians. And we're hesitant. We don't exercise that faith. And all of us have got the gift of faith. All of us have got a little bit of faith, enough to act on what God is calling us. We want to see where we can land, but here's the thing. Often in God's guidance, he doesn't show you that. He just says, I want you to move, and I want you to go this direction, and he entrusts us to go. Sometimes you just have to try, and it's not just blind faith. I'm not promoting blind faith. It's not unreflective action. When I try and find a way forward for me, when I've tested it with Scripture, When I've sat there with Jesus and I've tried to wrestle with this, is this really your way for me, Lord? Is this really true for me, Lord? When I've brought it to the body and I said, can you pray with me about this? Can you help me understand this? Then what I'm looking for is I'm looking for the peace that passes all understanding. And that's when I move. There's a peace that comes from knowing God and knowing that you're in the center of God's will. It's a peace that when you've experienced it, you know exactly what I'm talking about. It's an abiding peace. It is good peace. It's something that when you have it, you go, yes, I know that now. It's an assurity more than it is just a leap of faith. Sometimes, even if I'm really convinced that God has something for me to do, sometimes if I'm convinced that there is a direction that I need to head, I will wait for the peace of God to come into my life and I'll ask Jesus, if this is really right for me to do, send me the peace to confirm this direction in my life and I'll wait for that. And more often than not, the timing of when the peace comes in my life is the right timing of when I should act it. My friends, the peace that I'm talking about helps me to realize that we are caught up in a bigger purpose than what I can see. That God is doing more in this world than just my little avenue, just your little sphere of influence, but that he invites us to partner with that. And it says he's moving us around and instructing us to do different things. We are part of something so much bigger. I'm looking to be in sync with Jesus, with his economy, with his absolute purposes and direction. I'm looking for more than just suits me. More than just suits Seeds Church, but what God is doing around all of us. So here you go, the four things. Jonathan's four hints on finding guidance. And I'll come back to this again another day because it's so much deeper than what I've presented to you this morning. Four things. Spend time with God. Get to hear the shepherd's voice. Turn down the other noise and tune yourself to his voice so that you know what it's like when he speaks to you. The second thing. Spend time in Scripture. Saturate yourself with Scripture. Keep hearing his voice as revealed in Scripture. Third thing, be part of the body. Connect with the body. Let them speak into your life as well. Share with them. Pray for them, but have them pray for you as well. The fourth thing, have a go. Have a crack at what you think God wants to do, and then see if God acts. Let me say a prayer.